villages continue to move forward. In the kickoff of Village Day commemoration, as monitored through the YouTube channel of the Ministry of Development and Disadvantaged Regions in Jakarta on Tuesday, Yandri Susanto explained that it is important to ensure that the villages in Indonesia continue to move in the right and advanced direction. According to him, villages must move forward because villages have an important role in Indonesia's development as President Prabowo Subianto's six main program.
Astacita keenam ini adalah membangun dari desa dan dari bawah.
The sixth aspiration is to build from the village and from below for economic equality and poverty eradication. So clearly, villages are mentioned in Mr. President's Astacita. Therefore, it is important that we ensure that villages in Indonesia continue to move in the right and advanced direction.
Bahwa desa-desa di Indonesia terus bergerak ke arah yang lebih benar dan maju.
Moreover, Minister Yandri Susanto said that 73% of Indonesia's population resides in villages. To realize the six Astacita, the Ministry of Villages and Underdeveloped Regions Development presents 12 action plans which include revitalization of village-owned enterprises, village self-sufficiency and food security, village self-sufficiency in energy and water, and downstreaming of village superior products. Next is the development of export villages, village pioneer youths, and synchronization and consolidation of ministry or agency programs into villages. The Central Statistics Agency or BPS reported that the value of Indonesia's export reached $264.70 billion throughout 2024. In a release aired through the YouTube account of the Central Statistics Agency on Wednesday, acting head of BPS Amalia Adiningar Widyasanti said the value of export was higher than in 2023, which recorded $258.82 billion. She explained non-oil and gas export reached $248.83 billion or increased by 2.46%, while oil and gas export reached $15.88 billion, a decrease of 0.27%. According to Adiningar, the main drivers of Indonesia's non-oil and gas export performance are the processing industry and agriculture,
di mana kedua sektor ini, yaitu sektor industri pengolahan
where
dan
these two sectors, namely the processing industry and agriculture sectors, are the main drivers of the increase in non-oil and gas export performance in 2024, with a share of 3.84% and 0.51% respectively in the growth of non-oil and gas export.
Moreover, acting head of BPS Amalia Adiningar Widyasanti also said that if we look at the destination of export countries in 2024, non-oil and gas exports to the United States, India, ASEAN and European Union increased, while non-oil and gas exports to China decreased compared to 2023. The Minister of Primary Resources and Tourism of Brunei Darussalam, Dato Sri Satya Haji Abdul Manaf bin Haji Metusin, said that Indonesia has an opportunity to attract many tourists is very large. This was revealed by Haji Abdul Manaf at the networking session between Brunei and Indonesia agencies in Jakarta on Tuesday. Haji Abdul Manaf explained that Indonesia has great tourism potential that is not owned by the Kingdom of Brunei. For example, Indonesia has UNESCO site, geoparks, Labuan Bajo, Belitung, and others, which make Indonesia able to attract many tourists. Moreover, Haji Abdul Manaf further explained Brunei people prefer to visit Jakarta and Bandung for sport tourism and golf and shopping for fashion, textiles, batik, and culinary. Meanwhile, Indonesian tourists visiting Brunei mostly do religious tourism activities and education tourism. According to Haji Abdul Manaf, to facilitate tourists visiting Indonesia and Brunei, in the near future, there will be flights from Balikpapan to Brunei and vice versa. Voice Indonesia RI has again been chosen as a partner for the internship program for foreign students held by the Australian Consortium for In-Country Indonesia Studies, or ACCS. Voice Indonesia is one of about five government institutions that are ACCS partner for this year. ACCS program coordinator Helmi Watimuri told Voice Indonesia that apart from Voice Indonesia, interns are deployed to Bogor and Yogyakarta.
Kali ini kita punya 108 mahasiswa.
This time we have 108 students from about 14 different Australian universities. Then the number is indeed slightly down from the last 113 and also 108. Then for the place of internship we also opened up outside Jakarta, so they are Bogor in Yogyakarta. When it comes to the general theme, it's actually still the same. People-to-people connection, Australia, Indonesia. But for this time, because the participants are more low students, so the legal sector is probably the most highlighted, so the big theme.
Moreover, Helmi Watimuri added, in addition to relying on the new Colombo Plan financing program, the internship students for this year have received funding from the Asia New Zealand Foundation. The Financial Services Authority, or OJK, has written to banks and finance companies to support President Prabowo Subianto's administration's 3 million house building program. Chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the Financial Services Authority, Mahendra Siregar, said that OJK has asked banks to provide expanded financing, especially for low-income people. In a virtual press conference on Tuesday, Mahendra conveyed that his party had sent letters to banks, finance companies, as well as BP Tapra and PT SMF to support the expansion of housing financing for low-income people. Mahendra said that the involvement of the financial services sector was very central.
And the active involvement of the financial services sector is expected to be very central in bridging the limited budget capacity of the government.
Dari keterbatasan kapasitas anggaran pemerintah.
In addition, the Financial Services Authority, or JK, will optimize the asset-backed securities participation securities scheme in the capital market, specifically to increase liquidity and funding support for the 3 million house construction program. The OJK has also activated various relaxation policies in the housing sector, such as the quality of public housing loans, which can be assessed only based on the currency of payments. The Indonesian Trade Minister Budi Santoso released the export of 1,200 metric tons welded beam steel products produced by PT Gunung Raja Paksi worth $1.5 million to New Zealand. Budi said the export opportunity could occur because Indonesia took advantage of the ASEAN-Australia-New Zealand Free Trade Area ANZFTA economic cooperation so that the import duty became 0%. During the release of steel export in Cikarang, Bekasi, West Java on Wednesday, Budi Santoso said this makes it easier for Indonesia to compete with other countries. Budi said New Zealand has many bridge and export construction projects, which could be an opportunity to enter the country's steel market. Moreover, Budi asked micro, small and medium enterprises to improve product quality in order to enter the export market and be able to compete fairly with other countries. The Embassy of Finland and Indonesia, together with Indian Business Finland, visited Nusantara Capital City, or IKN, on Tuesday. The visit was carried out in order to see examples of smart pole technology and other smart city technologies in the archipelago. Through a statement quoted through oikn.go.id on Wednesday, during this visit, the Finnish Embassy, led by the Finnish Ambassador to Indonesia, Timor Leste, and ASEAN, Pekka Kaihilati, together with a team from Business Finland, had the opportunity to see firsthand the construction of the Nusantara capital city. The Finnish ambassador to Indonesia, Timor Leste, and ASEAN, Pekka Kaihilati, explained the main purpose of the visit is to build cooperation with Nusantara capital city authority in the development of smart cities and have expertise, experience, and best practices in terms of smart cities and to share all of that with Indonesia. He also expressed his hope that the first relationship with Indonesia, collaboration between Indonesia and Finland, could be even stronger. Listener, now let's come to our commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, today's commentary is on National Village Day. Today marks the inaugural celebrations of Hari Desa Nusantara or National Village Day, a significant occasion established by the Indonesian government through a presidential decree just last year, which designated January 15 as the official day. The decree outlined several key objectives for these commemorations, for the foremost being the recognitions and appreciations of the pivotal role villages play in the nation's development. Additionally, it serves to amplify the commitment and attention of the government, the community, and other stakeholders towards supporting sustainable village development. This year's observance is centered in West Java, with celebrations taking place in the regions of Subang and Sumedang. The event is underscored by the theme, Build Villages, Build Indonesia, aligning seamlessly with the six missions of the President's Prabowo's Asta Cita, a framework of eight governing principles, which advocates for building from the ground up, focusing on villages as the foundations for economic equity and the eradications of poverty. And this mission also encompasses effort to fortify national ideology and democracy. The importance of village development cannot be overstated, with villages contributing a remarkable 74% toward Indonesia's achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals or SDGs. They are undeniably integral to the nation's progress. In terms of territorial governance, 91% of Indonesia's administrative regions are villages. From a demographic standpoint, nearly 188 million people residing in villages represent 48% of the country's populations, thus addressing the needs of rural communities directly correlates to improving the well-being of the entire nation. Villages development spans numerous aspects, including human resources, healthcare, economic potential, and environmental sustainability. When these facets are collectively empowered and nurtured, the benefits extend far beyond the villages themselves, catalyzing national development. Bey Mahmudin, the acting governor of West Java and the province selected to host this year's National Village Day, highlighted a notable achievement. There are no longer any underdeveloped or extremely underdeveloped villages within the province. Of over 5,000 villages in West Java, more than 90% are classified as independent or advanced, with only 508 remaining in the developing category. On a national scale, the latest figures from the Indonesia Center's Statistics Agency reveal that as of 2024, there are a total of 84,276 administrative villages. While many of these villages have made strides in development, a significant number still fall behind, so the proportions of such villages has dramatically decreased in recent years. Nevertheless, several thousand villages continue to face challenges, underscoring the ongoing work required by the government to elevate these areas. Importantly, this effort cannot be solely shouldered by the government. The support of all sectors, including the active participation of the general public, is crucial. As we celebrate this new National Day, let us renew our commitment to the development of our villages. As for strengthening them, we fortify the entire nation. That concludes today's commentary.
I'm Ahmad Faisal. Thank you for listening. Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Now for the next segment, let's come to our Today in History.
Let's start Today in History with January 15, 1962, when Yosudarso gave his life in battle. Commodore Yosafat Sudarso, or Yosudarso as he's widely known, was killed aboard the Indonesian warship KRI Macan Tutul during the Battle of the Aru Sea. This battle fought between Indonesia and the Netherlands in the waters of Maluku. It started when Dutch forces, including two destroyers and aircraft, attacked three Indonesian patrol ships. Yosudarso's bravery is remembered as he sacrificed himself to protect his crew. Today, Yosudarso's legacy lives on through the Indonesian warship named after him, KRI Yosudarso, as well as streets and an island named in his honor. January 15 is also commemorated as Dharma Samudra Day, a tribute to the courage of Indonesia's naval hero. Next, we turn to January 15, 1974, about Malari incident. On this day, protests against corruption, rising prices, and foreign investment injustice erupted in Jakarta, Indonesia, during a visit by Japan's Prime Minister Takue Tanaka. It began as student demonstration turned quickly into riots, leaving 11 people dead and causing massive destruction. Hundreds of cars and buildings were set ablaze. The incident forced the New Order government to rethink its economic policies. Within a week, new measures were introduced to require partnerships between foreign and local investors. Through their execution was far from perfect. We end the program with January 15, 2004, when TransJakarta was launched. TransJakarta, Southeast Asia's first bus rapid transit system, officially opened its first corridor on this day. It was designed to provide affordable, efficient, and reliable public transport in Jakarta. With the world's longest bus rapid transit network stretching over 230 kilometers, TransJakarta now operates 14 corridors, 252 stops, and runs 24 hours a day. Over the years, the service has expanded, adding more routes, electric buses, and better accessibility for all passengers. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, let's come to the next segment, My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia highlights single data acceleration. Indonesia strengthens digital-based data integration management. The Indonesian government is accelerating the policy on single data management in social and economy. That was stated by the Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Empowerment, Muhaimin Iskandar, in the Ministerial Coordination Meeting on Presidential Instruction Draft for National Social and Economy Single Data in Jakarta on Monday. Minister Muhaimin said the policy is urgent because the national data management is yet to be integrated, causing data overlap and not right on target policy intervention. Minister Muhaimin also explained the program is in line with Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto's instruction to mix and match national data, which will be supported by a presidential instruction as its legal basis. Therefore, it will be easier to implement a national development program while encouraging government's cross-agency data synergy. The national social and economy single data will also be used as the targeting basis for social programs in central and regional levels. Minister Muhaimin further remarked, national social and economy single data combine three existing socio-economic data, namely social welfare integrated data, extreme poverty alleviation acceleration targeting, and socio-economic registration. Meanwhile, Indonesian Minister of State Civil Apparatus and Bureaucratic Reform, Rini Widiantini, gave her support for the national social and economy single data for being in line with the government's digital transformation. According to Rini, the implementation of national social and economy single data is one of the data exchange realization as a freeway for information that connects various applications in the digital public infrastructure. Minister Rini added the data is transformed fundamentally and structurally in the government institution and can use automation and standardization with the national social and economy single data management to make the transformation sustainable. Minister Rini also affirmed the state civil apparatus and bureaucratic reform ministry is ready to collaborate in strengthening the management of national social and economy single data, among many, is to facilitate coordination and synchronization on government digital transformation and mapping of cross-institution business process on national social and economy single data. That was My Indonesia from Voice of Indonesia.
Kita bukanlah buah yang terjatuh dari kapoknya. Cita-cita adalah benih yang terbawa angin samudra. Realita membawamu jatuh ke bawah. Tapi ingat-ingatlah bila mimpi tak sedang dengan apa yang kau tuju, tak sesuai dengan apa yang kau mau. Bukan hatimu. Dunia ini lebih luas dari ruangku. Kejar dulu
jangan layu, jangan kau ragu. Ragu sekarang, ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu. Jangan layu, jangan kau ragu. Ragu sekarang, ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu. Jangan layu, jangan kau ragu. Ragu sekarang, ingatlah mimpimu yang kau kejar dulu. Jangan layu, jangan kau ragu. Ragu sekarang, dengan apa yang kau tuju, sesuai dengan apa yang kau mau. Tepatkanlah beban pikiranmu, tanah pilihan diri. Sesuai dengan apa yang kau mau, sesuai dengan apa yang kau.
All our listeners, after listening music from Kunto Aji with title Pengingat, now let's come to our other segments, namely Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, and Music Corner. So finally, I am Ahmad Faisal, would like to say thank you very much for all of your kind attention to listen to and watch our program. Have a nice day and bye-bye.
Listeners, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Bawean, an island in the Java Sea about 135 kilometers north of Gresik City, Indonesia. Administratively, it is part of Gresik Regency, East Java. Bawean is often called the hidden pearl of the Java Sea, or even a slice of paradise in the Java Sea. If you visit, you'll find natural white sandy beaches, well-preserved marine parks, and welcoming locals. Besides trekking, you can also rent a boat to explore nearby islands for a fun adventure. The island is home to about 107,000 people, mostly from Bawean ethnic group, along with communities from Java, Madura, Kalimantan, and Sumatra. Most residents work as farmers or fishermen. Bawean is a stunning island in the middle of the Java Sea. Though it spans only 196.97 square kilometers, it has a long history and captivating charm. The name Bawean comes from the Sanskrit language, means sunlight. When you visit Bawean, don't miss its unique animal, Bawean deer, which can only be found on this island. Bawean is also called Pulau Putri, or Princess Island. According to legend, it became a stopping point for a royal family from the kingdom of Champa heading to Java. They stopped because the king's daughter was ill and sadly passed away there. To honor her, the island was named Pulau Putri. Today, her tomb, known as Jujuk Champa, can still be visited in Kumalasa village. Listener, to visit Bawean, you can take a sea route from Gresik Port or Paciran Port in Lamongan. The sea trip from Gresik to Bawean takes about 3 hours. Express Bahari ferries operate daily except on Friday. According to their official website, VIP tickets start at 250,000 rupiah, while the executive one start at 200,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Oh. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, the segment that introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the Overseas Service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is
Di Bali,
which means in Bali. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled
Baik dipanggang di oven maupun di tungku. Baik dipanggang di oven maupun di tungku,
which means whether oven roasted or stove roasted. This conversation takes place between Chris and the waitress at a restaurant in Bali. The waitress said that both stove-baked and oven-baked chicken betutu taste equally good. Let's listen to their conversations.
Ayam betutu ini direbus atau dipanggang?
Di restoran ini ayamnya dipanggang di tungku. Di tempat lain mungkin dipanggang di oven.
Apakah rasanya beda?
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
After listening to the conversations, we will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. We will pronounce it slowly. You can repeat it after us.
Rasa,
which means taste.
Ayam betutu,
which means betutu chicken.
Dipanggang,
which means roasted.
Tungku,
which means stove.
Oven,
which means oven.
Sama-sama,
which means equally.
Enak,
which means delicious.
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak. Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
Which means the taste of chicken betutu, whether roasted on the stove or in the oven, is equally good.
Direbus.
Which means boiled or stewed.
Restoran.
Which means restaurant. In the conversations, you hear this statement.
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak. Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
Which means the taste of betutu chicken is good whether roasted on the stove or in the oven. In this statement, there is an expression.
Baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven.
Which means whether roasted on the stove or in the oven. The expression contains a connection between
Ayam betutu dipanggang di tungku,
which means betutu chicken roasted on the stove, and
Di dalam oven,
which means in the oven, which is paired by the conjunction
Baik,
which means whether or both, and
Maupun,
which means or and. The conjunction
baik
and
maupun,
which means whether and or, in the expression connects the parts of the sentence that states how betutu chicken being roasted in the stove and being roasted in an oven, which produces the same quality of taste.
Ayam betutu ini direbus atau dipanggang?
Di restoran ini ayamnya dipanggang di tungku, di tempat lain mungkin dipanggang di oven.
Apakah rasanya beda?
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
Betutu is a Balinese specialty that can be made from chicken or duck. The word betutu means a dish made from chicken or duck meat that is seasoned and cooked in a shell until the meat and bones are tender. The special seasoning gives off a distinctive aroma of spices and can make the texture of the meat tender. Betutu was declared an Indonesian Intangible Cultural Heritage by the Indonesian government in 2017. Let's listen to other examples of the use of the conjunction
baik,
which means whether and
maupun,
which means or and end in other sentences.
Saya suka masakan ikan, baik ikan air laut maupun ikan air tawar. Saya suka masakan ikan, baik ikan air laut maupun ikan air tawar.
Which means, I like to eat both salted fish and fresh water fish.
Pemandangan bawah laut, baik di Wakatobi maupun di Lombok, sangat indah. Pemandangan bawah laut, baik di Wakatobi maupun di Lombok, sangat indah.
Which means, the underwater landscape, both in Wakatobi and Lombok, is very beautiful. Listeners, that was today's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the conversations entitled
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak. Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
Which means the taste of betutu chicken is good, whether roasted on the stove or in the oven. Hopefully, today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel and my colleague,
Ofra.
Thank you for your attention.
Sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a song from the province of West Sumatra titled Mudiak Arau. The song Mudiak Arau was composed by Aji Sutan Sati. It tells the poignant story of a woman who faithfully waits for a man returning from his travels. No matter the circumstances or the changes he may have undergone during his time away, she remains steadfast in her love and anticipations. Well, listeners, here is Mudiak Arau performed by Nurul Fadilah Hamid. Enjoy!
Jakarta. Inilah siaran luar negeri Voice of Indonesia. Siaran dalam bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia menyajikan berita, informasi dan hiburan, serta serba-serbi tentang Indonesia. Anda dapat mendengarkan serta mengakses siaran kami setiap hari di SW3325 kHz dan 4755 kHz atau melalui website www.voinews.id dan aplikasi RRI Digital. Voice of Indonesia, dari Indonesia untuk dunia.
Halo pendengar, apa kabar? Senang sekali bersama saya Dora menemani Anda selama 60 menit ke depan di kesempatan hari Rabu. Beberapa mata acara akan hadir ke ruang dengar Anda, dimulai dengan warta berita, komentar, dan info ringan lainnya, serta hiburan lagu-lagu Indonesia. Baiklah pendengar, kita mulai dengan warta berita dan tetaplah bersama kami, Voice of Indonesia dari Indonesia untuk dunia, di frekuensi SW3325 kHz dan website www.voinews.id.
Dari Jakarta, Voice of Indonesia, dalam warta berita.
Voice of Indonesia menyampaikan warta berita. Inilah sari berita penting. Indonesia ekspor baja ke Selandia Baru senilai 1,5 juta dolar Amerika Serikat.